Thank you, Madam Chairman Stabenow, Ranking Member Bozeman, and members of the committee. My name's Clay Pope. I'm a sixth-generation wheat and cattle producer from Loyal, Oklahoma. I'm also a member of the Oklahoma Farmers Union, and I'm honored to have the chance to testify today on behalf of National Farmers Union about climate change in U.S. agriculture. For more than a century, my family has farmed the same land following largely the same cycle. After harvest, we would use conventional tillage to control weeds and prepare the ground for planting. Once our wheat was planted enough, we would graze cattle in early March, or until early March, and then we'd harvest in summer and start the cycle all over again. Then in 2004, with worn-out equipment and concerns about erosion and rising input costs, we worked with NRCS and utilized EQIP to convert to no-till. A few years later, with more help from USDA, we began incorporating cover crops and enrolled in the Conservation Stewardship Program. We've never looked back. We still grow winter wheat and raise cattle, but now we work to minimize soil disturbance, maintain residue cover on the soil, keep something growing on the land as much as possible, and graze cover crops as well as wheat, all practices that help promote soil health. Now, I can't scientifically quantify all the benefits our land have received from soil health, but what I can tell you is that for the last 4 years, we've cut some of our best wheat ever while using roughly half of the fertilizer that we did when we conventional tilled. We're burning less fuel and benefiting from grazing cover crops. Our soil health practices have also helped us adapt our operation to the extreme weather events that climate change is exacerbating. The bottom line, our investment in soil health has helped us better prepare for climate change in a way that's helped both our bottom line and the environment. It's worked for us, and I believe it can work for others too. But the benefits of soil health practices don't stop with climate change. My state of Oklahoma is a great example. For nearly 30 years, we've been helping ag producers adopt soil health practices through incentive-based voluntary programs to improve water quality in an effort that has resulted in the removal of over 90 streams from the EPA-impaired streams list, more than any other state in the nation. Climate change presents several challenges for agriculture for sure, but it also presents opportunities. Carbon and other ecosystem service markets potentially could provide additional income streams for farmers and ranchers, but we need to ensure that these markets achieve their goals and work for producers. Again, my home state has an example. In 2001, the state established a carbon credit program that made the Oklahoma Conservation Commission the referee for carbon credits. Local conservation districts with training from NRCS verified practices implemented by farmers and ranchers. Verification costs were paid by credit purchasers with no cost to participating producers. Congress and USDA should look to this model to ensure producers have an affordable and reliable way to generate tradable credits. Looking forward, we must use all the tools at our disposal to help agriculture address climate change. First, Congress must work with USDA and farmers to emphasize climate adaptation and the implementation of all conservation programs. I truly believe the last Farm Bill was the most important piece of federal climate legislation to date, but the programs authorized in this act need to be improved to reflect the scope of the challenge. Congress must work with USDA to emphasize climate adaptation and conservation programs and provide additional funds for local NRCS staff to assist with conservation planning and technical assistance. It's also vital to recognize early adopters of soil health practices, many of whom will not be able to participate in carbon markets due to the issue of additionality. There are thousands of producers who have worked for years to improve their land. It would be a horrible mistake not to provide opportunities for these pioneers. Congress and USDA should work together to ensure that carbon markets are accessible and affordable for producers by having USDA serve as the arbitrator of these efforts with the authority to establish a public sector verification system for credits. And we must recognize that not all farms will be able to sequester large amounts of carbon due to factors such as region, soil type, and farm size. Additional ecosystem markets or other conservation payment programs, perhaps like an expanded CSP, should exist for those farmers and ranchers who employ soil health practices and provide public health and provide public benefits like improved water quality, but who, due to location or other factors, sequester little carbon. Finally, USDA must build on its research efforts because from drought-resistant seeds to cattle bred to deal with extreme weather stress, farmers and ranchers need all the tools that they can get. The Agriculture Research Service and public research entities must have the resources necessary to undertake this work. As part of this, Congress and USDA should build upon the existing Climate Hub network, which pulls expertise from across USDA and engages farmers and ranchers. They can help coordinate efforts and information among agencies through education and outreach efforts and help overcome hesitancy with both producers and USDA employees who are just a little bit hesitant about breaching the subject of climate change. In closing, I would like to reiterate that agriculture is indeed facing numerous challenges resulting from climate change. The good news is we have a path forward. The question is, will we take it? Remember, members, the secret is in the soil, and cows really can save the planet. Thank you for this opportunity to testify.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Mr. Pope. And let me start a question to follow up on what you indicated when you said that the most important piece of federal climate legislation to date was our 2018 Farm Bill. And we worked very hard in a bipartisan way, as you know, to put in some very important climate smart policies, particularly around conservation. And so my question is, it's hard to believe we actually are thinking about another Farm Bill a couple years away, but I want to make sure that we are building on that. And Mr. Isbell talked about not taking from existing programs to fund something new on climate. I couldn't agree more. This has got to be adding. I think we all want to make sure that we are adding to the resources for farmers and foresters. But could you speak a little bit more about how we can use the conservation title and other authorities to do even more to tackle the climate crisis?
Well, you know, to start with, I mentioned about additional resources to your local NRCS staff, especially for conservation planning and technical assistance. If you look at what conservation planning is designed to address and then put it up next to a lot of the challenges that we're facing from climate change, you start to see some similarities in those lists. That's probably the first place to start, is to really make sure that we've got the resources at the local level to help implement those programs and that we're providing the focus to help deal with climate change. And then, of course, obviously, fully funding the suite of programs like EQIP and the Conservation Stewardship Program. But also, I'd mentioned CSP, possibly looking at making CSP or starting from whole cloth to maybe do something as far as an actual program that would fall underneath the WTO green box definition, you know, a program that actually pays producers based on their stewardship. I think that's key. Stepping away from the conservation title, I think making sure that we have solid risk management tools. I know crop insurance has been mentioned, what we see with the programs at FSA, like ARC and PLC, making sure that we maintain the strength of those programs. But clearly in the conservation title, providing that focus and making sure that we've got that dealt with. Also the research title, to make sure that we're giving the emphasis, the focus, and the resources, not just at ARS, but at our land grant institutions. And then utilizing that Climate Hub network, like I spoke to try to help cut back on some of the stovetyping that we see between agencies and help get that outreach and communication out to producers and agency staff.